So I kind of stand up and I'm getting real ready, and he goes, okay, shoot it. Bang, that dove dies. I am as happy as can be. We're hooping and hollering. I mean, everybody's excited for me. Little did I know, on the backside of this pond, there's a little bit of a dam that comes up, and we just hear, oh, 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 oh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hey Now Bound podcast, where we're Southern storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Joshua.
I'm Kellen.
I'm Chance.
And I'm Kate.
We're here in Weatherford, Oklahoma,
home of the Bulldogs.
Y'all gonna find out a lot more of why in the world we're in Weatherford, Oklahoma, if you hadn't figured out through the reels and different things. But we've got two great guests today that have been so kind to us that I can't talk about how good they've been to us over the past couple of days. Now it's time to tell some stories.
So we're gonna get right after it.
We're gonna get after it. They've got their stories ready. We're gonna do that. We're going to talk about the hunt and our time over the past couple of days, scripture time, and then we're going to head back to Clinton, and you're going to go back to Hayden.
I'm going back to Hayden tonight.
All right. Well, that's what you can expect.
Y'all pray for us.
Yeah. Pray for us when you pray. Amen. Well, boys, fire it up. Let's hear it.
Okay. We figured we'd kind of start with the story of how we became such good friends. So long story short, this building we're in to film this is the college ministry. And so I came here for school, and then his now wife, at the time girlfriend, came here, and we kind of, the two of us met through the college ministry, and then we have quite a few people that come in and that don't go to school, like Kellen, who kind of work that are our age, and so he started coming around, and we got introduced to each other off the bat, and at first we were kind of like, because people told me, you know, I hunt a lot, he hunts a lot. We kind of got told that about each other, and I was like, he doesn't hunt as much as I do. And he thought the same. Yeah. And so.
Oh, yeah. Well, he don't hunt as much as I do.
That was the thought. So, anyway, so we kind of got to know each other from there. And then one day he invites me to go duck hunting, and we both love duck hunting. That's our number one sort of deal. So, anyways, I'm driving up there. It's about an hour and a half away from here. First time ever hunting with him, driving an hour and a half just to go duck hunting. And so we get up there, we hunt in the morning. We go back to his parents' house, which is 30 minutes away or so. And we're there, and they're great to us, cooking us a meal and everything. And after a while, you know, everybody kind of starts to leave. And I drove myself up there, and Kellen goes, hey, you want to go deer hunting tonight? Maybe stay the night up here. First time we had ever really hung out very much. And so we're like, okay. So the chances were really high of a big snowstorm. I mean, big snowstorm. So we're sitting there eating dinner, getting ready. And we were like, there's a chance we get snowed into this blind. We can't get out of there and get back to his house. So we're sitting there. His mom makes us chicken noodle soup, puts it in a container that'll keep it hot, crackers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole nine yards. We got the whole spread from his mom. So we drive out there. We're deer hunting, not seeing too many deer. Snow starts dumping down. After a while, about dark, we had 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground. I'm talking a lot of snow. And so we're sitting there, and we're like, well, I guess we're stuck. So we sit there, and the moon is as bright as can be. It's practically daylight in the middle of the night. So we're kind of sitting around waiting, and it's moonlight. His target buck walks out in the middle of the night. I mean, moonlight. You could see it clear as day. We're sitting there, and we're like, no, no, no.
We can't do this.
So that buck walks. We let him go. And we're sitting there, and we're like, man, it's cold. I mean, I think it was single digits. We were freezing, and we're in a pretty good little box blind, but it's cold. Got a couple buddy heaters. Well, middle of the night strikes, and I go, man, I got to go to the bathroom. This is an issue. So I walk out the back of the blind, and on this property, his uncle owns it, there's this Connex storage container. And I was like, that's the only thing I can lean up against. So I, you know, get over there, and I'm leaned, snow all on the ground. And I sit there, and I'm doing just fine. All of a sudden, my feet start to slide. I mean, just barely. And I sit there and backpedal, backpedal, backpedal. I'm grabbing. There's nothing to grab on the side of that container, fighting for my life.
No.
Straight down. Straight down. And so I walk, clean myself up a little bit. Frozen.
A little bit.
I got snow in places you don't want to imagine. Mm-hmm. I walk back to that blind, and I go, I'm pretty sure I just fell in my own poop. And we start dying laughing. And so that's kind of how we first got going.
That's Phil's favorite story.
Yeah, favorite.
It was a rough one.
Absolutely.
You're happy? Are you happy with that? We're still friends.
Yeah.
We are.
That was a red flag.
It was a while. So I'm going to continue that. That same evening. So we brought sleeping bags. We brought pillows. So this blind, it's a 7x8 metal tin blind that's spray foamed on the inside. Got carpet, office chairs. It's really, really nice deer blind. And so we expected to stay the night, so we brought sleeping bags. And so once it got dark, we had scooted the chairs all the way to one side, and we laid out our sleeping bags. And after his
incident,
I had a little buddy heater. It's one of the ones you just screw on the heater to the top of the little propane bottle, and it usually has a little platform that kind of keeps it upright. So we were all tucked in. I had a hard time getting that heater started. So in this blind, there's a carpeted rail around the top, you know, rest your guns, set your shells on when you're hunting and everything. We were down below, obviously on the ground, and I set that heater. I don't know why I set it above me, but once I got that heater started, I set it right above me and had it going for a little while. And before I fell asleep, I was going to turn it off. And I lay down, I kind of start dozing off, and I hear a noise, and I just opened my eyes, and I was looking straight up, and I just see orange coming at me. Mm-hmm. That heater hit me right here, right in the lip. Mm-hmm.
Dial 911.
I felt like it in that moment. Oh. Luckily, it was kind of the side. It wasn't the heating element itself. Man. But I just sat up. I was seeing stars. I was in pain.
Obviously, with a third degree large, burn on your
with
face,
a large amount.
I could tell there was pain.
And I kind of flipped my lip up, and I just spit out blood. And I just, luckily, I just busted the inside of my lip open.
So it didn't burn it too bad.
I didn't even burn me.
Wow.
I got so lucky. Mm-hmm. But I looked up, all I saw was orange. I thought, oh boy. And just whack.
I don't know. There were several signs here that I think that maybe you should have just went home.
Got
another
here,
too.
Got another here to several indicators.
Several indicators.
Several. Mm-hmm.
But the question on my mind, I may miss this. How did it fall? It's on a stationary shelf, mm-hmm. and it moves itself.
Only God knows.
That's all I can tell you.
It was probably a sign that we should probably stop being friends, but here we are. That's
down
how we started.
A piece. One other thing about this story that I've never heard before, I've never spent the night in a deer blind.
I never have either. It ain't never snowed bad enough for me not to go home.
These boys knew that they had a attention. Plan ahead.
They planned to stay out there.
Yeah. A little bit of insanity.
Me and this guy, we knew better than to stay the night in a blind, because when that target bug just happened to be out,
hey,
Thomas Blood runs deep.
Boy,
boys.
It would have been right.
Y'all are. You went up on my list of integrity people.
Yeah. It was real hard. It was difficult, but we try to stay as straight as we can.
There you go, man. That's impressive.
So anyway, did y'all do that morning?
Froze. It was when we woke up that morning, and we sat there for a little while once the sun come up before we couldn't stand it anymore. And finally, when we hopped out of the blind, there was 8 or 10 inches at that point. And when I turned my truck on, it was like 10 degrees with probably 20 mile an hour north wind. And we said, it's time to go home.
It was time to go home at 4.
Well,
that evening before that.
The amount of vehicles we saw in the ditches on the way home. Mm-hmm. Luckily, once we got to the highway, the DOT had it clear and cleaned
Good
up.
Good old DOT had you a place to go.
We made it home safe.
8 to 10 inches means you're at the house for 3 days.
You got to go to Walmart and buy some water and bread.
A bunch of stuff. Well, tell me another one.
Okay, well. Figured I love turkey stories, and I especially love y'all's turkey stories on here. So I figured I'd tell my first turkey story. So I didn't grow up hunting turkeys. We didn't have them around very much. Never hunted turkeys before, just never done it. My grandpa didn't do it. Nobody in my family did it. And so I come to Weatherford, and you know, we had been hanging out for a bit. And for some reason, somehow it got brought up that he's the turkey whisperer. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna kill a turkey now. You know, I got the turkey whisperer with me. So the craziest part of this story is it's my first ever hunt, and we're meeting up at his house to go fishing. We have no intent to go turkey hunting. Somehow I had all my stuff in the truck.
Just
it's springtime. I'm always ready.
Right. You gotta be prepared.
Yeah. So anyway, so we get to his house, and he's like, you know what? Let's throw the stuff in the truck. I mean, we might see a turkey out there. There's been known to be turkeys on this property. So anyways, if you know anything about me, I don't know if y'all know those little Twisted X, like moccasin sort of shoes, you know, they lace up. I love those shoes. So I'll have a good pair and then I'll have a pair with holes all in them and everything. Well, every time I go fishing, I don't know why, it's a superstition, I wear those shoes with no socks. That is me. So I wear those shoes. And so I'm sitting there wearing those like baby blue shorts, a t-shirt, and I just throw camo in the truck, throw a gun in the truck. I mean, I'm using his shells. I mean, not prepared whatsoever. So we're driving down the road and we are literally about to turn off the gravel road and hit the property we're going to go fishing. And we're driving and Kellen slams on the brakes. I'm like, what is going on?
Gobbler.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Right across the road, two gobblers are walking there. And he's like, they're going to cross this road and go onto our property. And I was like, no, no, there's no way. So we kind of pull up. Sure enough, they dump right down into this wheat field. And so we pull around, park our truck. I'm throwing on camo as fast as I can, changing shoes, putting socks on because I don't even have socks on. So we're running along, kind of crawling along, and we sit there. And he grabs his decoy, and he hits a call and just go, 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 go. I mean, they're coming straight in. Well, me being new to turkey hunting, I didn't know what I was doing. And I thought, if they get in range, I'm going to shoot one. And he was like wanting me to just let it attack the decoy, the whole show. Well, they get out there and he's like, wait, wait, wait. Now I just go bang and I drop one. That other one just flutters away and I'm like, here you go. Throw him the gun. He shoots one. We double up. That's my first ever turkey hunt. And we were planning on going fishing.
It's downhill from there.
I know.
It never gets any better than
first
that.
First and last.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you ever take him back?
Not yet.
This is last season. First ever time turkey hunt.
And he's hooked. And you can tell he's
hooked. Oh, I'm hooked.
The gobbler gets 75 yards. Kabloom.
Yeah. He was at about 20, but the decoy was at about 5.
You wanted him to get in the front pocket.
They'd have come to 5.
He wanted the show. Yeah. I was just killing a bird. That's all that was on my mind.
Well, then I have no criticism for you. 20 yards is
that's really
that's plenty. So you need killing.
That's good enough for everybody but this guy.
That's right.
I like to watch him too. Ain't no problem. Well, tell me one.
Well, I'm going to follow the same beat. I've been turkey hunting quite a while. I started when I was 9, but before that, at that time, Oklahoma's legal age of being able to get your hunter safety was 9. But ever since I was little tyke, I've just been eating up with hunting. And so when I was 8, I wanted to go turkey hunting so bad, but I couldn't get my hunter safety. So my grandpa and dad got together and decided that they were going to take me on a turkey hunt, but I was just going to observe. So wake up way early, of course, we sneak up on some roost trees and then we watch, we're in some pretty tall grass and we watch these turkeys fly out of these roost trees. And of course I'm infatuated, just all the noises, that vocalizations that turkeys make of a morning. We're sitting on a little two-track road and here comes all the hens coming by. Yeah, they're passed by us. Of course, here comes the gobblers. They walk out in front of us. My dad shoots one, and being at that age, I didn't really know about the death twitch.
Mm.
He makes a good shot. Well, he shoots that turkey, and he's out there flopping, dying. Well, I just hop up, run out to that turkey, step on his neck, pull out a pocket knife, and slit this turkey's throat. Before my grandpa and dad even knew what happened, I don't know if it was...
Did you say your name was Kellen or Killer?
Yeah, well,
a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Anyway, I don't know. My grandpa and dad just kind of stood there and watched me. I don't know if it's because they were in shock.
I think so.
Well, they couldn't catch you.
I can't remember where I even acquired that pocket knife. But my dad didn't even know I had it.
Nice.
So
you're going hunting. You got to have a pocket knife.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Almost serial killerish, but impressive.
He's got some tendencies.
I'm seeing that.
Anyway, I've got another story to add to that one. So the very next year, I had gone through all of my hunter safety courses, and it was my turn.
You're legal now.
I'm legal. It's my turn to pull the trigger. Actually, the same exact property. We just reversed times, and we were sitting there waiting on them in the evening for when they go back to roost. So we had snuck through. We had tried to chase them, but we just decided, let's just go to the roost. They're going to come by us. They'll be there. So my grandpa gets us set up. It's my older brother beside me. me with a gun, and then my grandpa. Here comes all the hens, 30, 40 hens, and then here comes the gobblers. Well, they get the gobblers get square right out in front of us, and they're just doing gobbler things right before they go up to roost. They're fighting. The two biggest gobblers, they're kind of fighting, kind of have their necks and heads close, you know. My grandpa just says, pick one out, shoot one. So I raise up. Boom! Three turkeys start flopping. unbeknownst to me, I just shot at one of them, and I didn't understand the rules of a shotgun.
Yeah.
I aimed at one, and then I didn't even see the third turkey. There was a Jake off behind him trying to get some of that fighting action. Anyway, I didn't actually kill the Jake. I passed the gun to my brother, and he shot that turkey. But my very first real turkey hunt, stoned two longbeards in one shot.
You were destined to be a turkey hunter. I got one question.
Go ahead.
Where do I need to park to get to that spot?
Come on.
Is it the 30 hens that let you know they got enough?
Yeah.
That was the first thing that stood out to me is 30 hens walk by.
Yeah.
Not me.
You don't need to come to Alabama. I don't know a place in Alabama you can see 30 turkeys in one spot.
Wow. Past couple of days have been pretty impressive, you know, driving around looking for ducks. I found two flocks of 60 plus just driving around. And
Say no more.
You're coming back.
Come on, Mr. Robin.
Where do I need to drop him off? I'm just going to leave him here in Oklahoma.
That worked.
Let's swap it up just a little bit. We have Chance here.
Good morning.
He was a last minute addition to the trip.
It was his last second.
It was. It was at the.
I had about 5-10 minutes back.
End of the Sunday service. Mm-hmm. Go get your stuff, and I'll be up there to get you, and we're going to go to Oklahoma. Give us a Chance Holder story.
I have one similar to him. My first ever deer hunt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My dad took me. Didn't see any deer or anything.
How old are you?
Probably 8 or 9.
Okay.
We're up here in a tree blind, pretty high up. I had to pee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As all 8-year-olds.
And I'm in overalls, everything, so many layers. And my dad says, if you're going to go, you better run. Ooh. If you scare a deer off, it ain't going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I climb down. I take off running, sprinting. I'm like, there. Not much time left.
Yeah, we're out.
I stop, start zipping. Didn't get it out.
Oh,
I filled my boots up.
Oh, no.
Maybe 2-3 hours into the hunt. Not a good day.
Got to go home.
No. So luckily, our friends were hunting across the field from us, big farm. He had extra clothes, but I didn't have any boots to wear. So,
did you fill your boots up?
Man. I filled them up.
Boy, you had to go.
I had to go. I was holding it forever because I was scared to say anything. But that was my first deer hunt.
That's all right.
Several comments, but none are appropriate.
I'm proud of you, Robin.
Robin's learning.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Spiritual growth.
But let me point out one thing.
Please.
We got youngins talking about going with his daddy. We got youngins taking friends. We got youngins talking about grandpa, daddy, and brother. That's what hunting's about.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Amen. And they'll always remember.
Yeah.
Chance will never forget that.
No, he won't. Yeah.
And I can't imagine how cold his feet were.
I don't think his daddy will ever forget that.
I'm glad Cubby didn't pull that in the lab blind this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right.
Oh,
right.
Lateral damage there.
Double burst. Yeah. Share and share alike. Robin, didn't you tell me you had a story for this show?
Yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and get that.
All right, I have 3 beautiful children. I got 1 medical doctor, 1 doctor of pharmacy, and 1 Marine. Mm. And the Marine was a mama's baby for years and years and years. I mean, bona fide, certified mama's baby. I could give a lot of examples, but some of those are inappropriate. And I always worried about him. You know, what's this boy going to turn out to be? What's this boy going to turn out to be? I went and saw him about a month ago in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. He's married now and got 2 little girls. Those 2 little girls are real special to me. Hey, JJ, hey. Good gracious.
What do you need? What do you need to name your daughter?
It's a good name.
Edit it out. Anyway, it was a pleasure to me, as you can tell.
Do we need to reset cameras?
They got me up on a trampoline, though, and it took them two to do it. And here comes Buck, and he's been taking a class on how to apply a tourniquet. He got up there messing with me. Hey. I said, boy, I'm going to hit you with a clothes. He said, let me put a tourniquet on there. I said, I ain't bleeding. He said, let me practice on you. And after a little tussling of air a little bit, he put his knee on the inside of my thigh, just above my knee, and pressed down with his 200 pounds. He put his other knee back behind my head. He took my belt off of me. All while I'm fighting for my life, he got a stick from somewhere.
On a trampoline.
And made a tourniquet. He's applying pressure. And my mama, my wife, his wife, and everybody in the neighborhood telling him quit. He's, I fight for my life the whole time. He said, it's good. They say they'll fight you. And I was.
So they'll fight you.
And after the dust settled, I'm not worried about that boy anymore. He going to be all right.
He going to make it. Yeah, he know how to put a tourniquet on.
Yes, he can.
In the middle of combat, nonetheless.
I'm only concerned that you're going to make it if Earl watches this.
Oh.
Yeah, if Maggie watches this.
My thumb timer's kicking in.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You buffered for just a second. You came around quick.
We ain't fed him supper.
I told you I ain't have a medicine.
And we ain't had him supper.
And he hasn't eaten anything.
No Reese's today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I passed up. A milkshake at the Bronx.
He sure did.
Oh, we're so proud of him.
The name of their restaurant, one more time.
Bronx.
Okay. Which is an Oklahoma-based
chain. Yep. Yes.
Chain restaurant. We went there for lunch today. Uh-huh. And you have a choice.
Yeah.
When you get a combo at Bronx.
A drink?
You want a milkshake. A milkshake. Uh-huh. Robin opted for the drink, which was my first. But I wasn't totally surprised by that because I know how much he likes Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And I figured as soon as he got finished with that, he's going to want a milkshake. I want a milkshake. Chance want a milkshake. Josh want a milkshake. And I just turned to Robin. Robin, what flavor do you want? I'm going to get a milkshake.
You know why, though?
I know why.
You know why? His feelings were hurt at lunch.
He's mad at you, man.
He was mad at me. He was showing you. You taught him something, didn't you, Rob?
Tried to. But that wasn't a teaching moment. I just wanted to try to get a little healthier.
That was a sidebar. You just taught him a little bit.
Yeah. But, hey, look, regardless whether it's a teaching moment or you were trying to get healthier, you shocked every person there. We were totally proud of Rob.
And he did not.
And he overcame. He was an overcomer at proms.
Well, when we were growing up, we'd spent a lot of time on my grandpa's farm, and my dad had brought out a little storage shed, pretty much is what it is, and he'd fixed it up, and on the weekends, it was our little adventure cabin.
Our whole
family would go out there. My dad would do a lot of Dutch oven cooking, and so my brothers and I, we'd run around with BB guns and 22s, stuff of that sort, getting in a lot more trouble than we should have. Mm-hmm. One morning I think it was fall break is when it was. We were walking around and probably trying to shoot anything we could. And my brother had to go pee. So he walks up to a tree as a person would, zips down his pants. I actually think he had overalls on of some sort. Zipped down his pants. It was pretty cool that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at the base of that tree and he looks down. There's a rattlesnake coiled up right at the base of that tree in a kind of a notch.
Mm.
I can't remember if he was in midstream or moments before. And he starts screaming. And I don't know what's going on. Of course, I'm not paying attention to him. And he just takes off running, doesn't even pull his pants up.
Oh, yeah.
And just takes off running back to that cabin.
Understand.
And I kind of like, what in the world's going on? I walk over there and I probably start screaming too because my mom, she's big, she hates snakes. So from little tiny age was, if you ever see a snake, we knew the difference between venomous and not, but we knew that one was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we surely he pulled his pants up at some point, but from what I can remember, he ran about a half a mile with his pants mostly or all the way, almost all the way down. It was a little bit of a scoot, you know, but a little bit of a, shuffle, a, little bit of a right. shuffle. But we were almost half a mile away from that cabin. And once we made it back, of course, my dad loaded us up in the pickup and said, show me where that snake's at. That snake got
follow the stream.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much. That snake was put in its place at some point after, shortly after. Sure. But anyway.
He went the way of all the things of the earth.
Well, you can struggle with snake identification except for rattlesnakes. Yeah. Rattlesnakes yeah. give
That's
it away.
Easy. Mm-hmm. But luckily, it was cool enough that morning. He was kind of curled up yeah. and dormant. So it was pretty chilly that morning. So we were pretty lucky, of course, but God was looking out for us.
Yeah, yeah. My little girl was saying today, she said, Daddy, are we going to see any rattlesnakes? I said, I don't know, baby. She said, will I hear them? I said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're there and you walk past them, you're probably going
to
hear them.
Yep. It was warm enough for them to be out.
It was warm. It was warm today.
Yeah. Now, that's not a complaint. Not a complaint. I was so thankful that it's 70 degrees because I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You were a kid talking about that, and you said you had a story from your childhood.
Yeah, so in thinking about this podcast, I called my mom. So shout out to her, Renee Russell, if she's watching anywhere.
Renee, yep,
shout out. You.
Yep. So anyways, I called her and I said, hey, you got any stories from my childhood, anything you think that's funny? And so this is mostly her credit to her. But when I was a real little kid, so my dad was a preacher for 20-something years. He's still in ministry sort of, but not pastoring as much anymore. Well, so we moved around a little bit, but the first place I was born was Geronimo, Oklahoma. I was actually born in Lawton, Geronimo, little tiny town outside of it. My dad was pastor in this church, maybe 60, 70 people tops. I mean, not a big church at all. And most of them were of the older community, you know, it was a little older church. And growing up being a preacher's kid, never had to worry about daycare because we always had some of the older deacons in church would take care of me, watch me, go everywhere. My mom, when she was talking to me, she was like, yeah, we found you on the roof one time hanging Christmas lights. I'm 3 years old, by the way, just to square this Whoa. Away. 3 years old, hanging Christmas lights with a deacon. His name was Mr. Frank. And he kind of took me everywhere. So they find me.
Clearly.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Get up here, boy. I need your help.
Yeah, pretty much. So they find me there one time. I'm riding on the lawnmower with him one time. But him and a couple of the other deacons, I mean, they're just as ornery as can be. And my mom said they thought I was just their little guinea pig. If they wanted me to do it, I did it. I listened to everything they said. And so there's a couple different times. Like one time, Sunday evenings after church, they figured out that they showed me how to put my thumb on the end of a water hose and make it, you know, shoot out. Mm-hmm. Well, they would kind of give me a signal from across the way when someone would walk out of the church building. So I was there at 3 years old shooting people with a hose as they were walking out of church. And so I did stuff like that. There was all sorts of stuff. I mean, I don't know if you know the song Drinking Bone. It's all about
country tune.
Yeah, country tune about drinking alcohol sort of deal vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, country song?
Yeah. So I'm sitting there in church one Sunday, and I guess one of these girls had gone up there to the on stage.
Oh, we're gonna do a special.
Oh yeah. And so I guess my little 3 year old self was gonna go up there too.
I got one.
Oh no.
Special.
Yeah. And so we start singing Drinking Bone. Before service on a Sunday morning.
You and the little girl?
Kid. Oh, yeah. Preacher's kid over here. I was setting a real good example
yes,
for the
sir.
Congregation.
Were you leading or were you singing back up?
You got to ask my mom on that one. I was about three, but my guess, I was probably leading.
Yeah, you're leading.
Yeah.
Did they let you finish it?
I guess my dad probably went and grabbed me off stage pretty quick.
One of my worst fears. Yeah. Is, you know.
Yeah. You think Riley might get up here and sing one?
Oh, yeah. I'm very careful with what music we listen to.
Well, Brother Johnny learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to filter your guests before they just get up there and get started.
Oh, yes. That's a wonderful reference.
Yeah, I'm sure Blank here has got one from the arsenal.
I asked little boy, I said, what do y'all do this morning? He said, we watch.
No, can't do that.
Can't say that one.
I'm going to cut that off right there.
You got one more to that list, don't you?
So there's two more, actually. So the next one. So when I was a little kid, I learned very quickly that amen was how we finished a prayer. And so when my dad would get up there and he'd be saying a prayer and I got tired of listening to him talk, I would from the back row yell, Amen. Yes. And let them have it. And so that's how I cut off prayers and everybody would be dying laughing. Sure. You know, I'm still 3 or 4 years old. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little. I am. I'm just firing. I'm a talker. So, you know,
you're saying what everybody else is thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
We're ready for lunch. We're getting out of there. Yeah.
Well, before, hold on. I want you to ask, if it's not on your list, is that story on the list?
Which one?
Talking about you being a talker. You're finishing in law school, how you decided to take that path. Did you put that story on?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You got to tell that. We're going to come back around. We can't quit. That's a good story.
Okay. Will do.
So anyway, we'll finish up. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's a good one.
So the very last one, and I kind of got these stories jumbled up, but my mom reminded me of this, and I'm glad she did. So those deacons, they figured out that while people were, you know, in church in different classes and stuff, they'd come grab me before my parents could, you know, right after service, you know, preacher, his wife are talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. They'd come get me and they'd take people's car keys. And they figured out and taught me that they would honk the horns on those cars and make those lights flash when I spit on a car. And so I just always thought, spit on a car, things go off.
Oh,
no. Man, these guys.
I got to meet you, Deacon.
They're good guys. But anyway, so we go to Walmart, my dad and I. And we're walking up, and I'm just...
You're wearing them out, aren't you?
Every car. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, what are you doing? And I'm so mad. And so finally, he figures out what I was doing and why I was spitting on all these cars. But my dad, for the life of him, couldn't figure out why I was spitting on every single car in that parking lot.
It took him probably up until the deacons meeting to figure that out.
I bet it did.
Hey, y'all pray for my boy.
Yeah. Don't you know that deacons
meeting? He got a demon.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they started laughing.
He ain't got no hope.
Oh, my.
That's what I was saying.
Are you still in touch with any of these deacons?
Not as much anymore. I think most of them have passed on by now. I mean, that was almost 20 years ago, and most of them were 70 plus. So
we talked about it at lunch. I was telling Chance, I said, your generation didn't, well, not every one of them, obviously, but I said, you didn't get that just hardcore uncle rough up like you're talking about. You got a good dose of it.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe why I like you. I don't know.
I appreciate it.
A little tough. I like that, though. Yeah. Let's have that other one you said you had.
Okay. Well, about middle school, we ended up moving, changing towns. We moved into this new house, and the previous owners had left an above ground swimming pool. And my dad, he wasn't really about swimming pools, and so he didn't maintain it, of course, you know. And they had left some water in it, chlorine, whatever pool chemicals. But I was really into fishing. I wanted to fish so bad. And that yard had a big backyard. So I got in mind that all I wanted to do was dig a pond. And on numerous occasions, I can remember getting a shovel and trying to dig a pond. Well, you can imagine how that turned out.
Yeah.
The holes that I did dig, well, of course, they didn't fill with water.
Yeah, they probably
No, and they weren't much bigger than this table either. And so I got the bright idea just to use that pool. And so without maintenance, without refilling it, in the summertime, it dried up. My dad just planned on cutting it up and trashing it. Well, I kind of got him on board with this plan, and I had saved up a little summer money. And so I built all kinds of fishing structure. I got old trees. I made some catfish coves, some cinder blocks in the bottom of this. And I just ran a water hose over there and filled that thing. And man, I was so excited. I was going to be able to just come home from school and fish.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to go ask somebody to drive me somewhere or try to convince somebody, you know. So around that area, the stocking truck comes around, the tanker truck full of fish. You can buy bass and catfish, shiners, all of the good things. So I bought 50 channel cat, about 12 inches long. Of course, I didn't know nothing about
pond management.
Pond management, that's a good word.
That's the official word.
I was going to manage that pond.
Yeah.
I stuck those fish in there. And I was so excited. I went and bought a 50-pound sack of catfish food and everything.
How old were you this time?
Middle school, like 12, 15, something like that.
I'm impressed.
And within the hour, every one of those fish.
Belly up. The oxygen, BOD was very high.
And I'm not sure. There probably wasn't a little bit of chlorine left in there. Anyway, my dad made me, he said, well, these fish ain't going to rot out here. So I had to wait out there in that water, and it was pretty nasty.
And a few minutes, boy.
To top it off, of course, them little channel cat have fins. And in the process of trying to collect the floating ones, apparently there was one still kicking and not on top. I stepped on one of them catfish. And, you know, at that age, them catfish have barbed fins. Went right through my foot. Beyond the tears that I'd probably cried from losing all my fish.
Your investment is lost.
There was a little extra at that point.
That's rough.
Anyway.
That's a bad day as a 12-year-old boy.
But you learned a valuable lesson.
I did.
In pond management.
I mean, dissolved oxygen is very important for
aquatic
life. Yeah. Very much.
So. Anyway.
But you probably gave some people some ideas, too. And you may have saved some people who were thinking, I'm going to do this. Don't do that. Now, I want to have, I know I'm asking you to do this off the cuff.
Okay.
But that, you came by and visited, y'all both did, visited with us, brought us some awesome treats. And let's give a shout out real quick.
So I got a neighbor lady. She's known around town for her cookies, and that is what she calls salami. It's a lot like summer sausage. Colby Jack cheese, she home makes all of it. There's four different kinds of cookies. These cookies here that have frosting in the middle of them, they're a pumpkin spice with a cream cheese frosting.
We got two cookies here that she's cooked for us. Oh, are you going to taste test one? What's this one here?
Four different kinds. That's a pumpkin spice with cream cheese frosting. That's a, I forget what she calls them, but there's pecans, coconut, and chocolate chips. And there's a chocolate chip, and then pull one of them out.
Oh, those chocolate chips are soft.
Yeah. Chocolate chip out for me.
And then this row, she calls them apricot nut. It's like a butter-based cookie with little dried apricots and pecans in them.
Those are my favorite. You see they're falling apart, so which is my favorite kind of cookie.
They are so good.
This is really cool. Yeah. And so she's an elderly lady, and this is kind of like her ministry.
She's a widow lady, and she doesn't like to sit around. And so I asked her, would you maybe... She brings stuff to me all the time. I said, well, we got a bunch of guys coming in. Maybe want to add a little something extra for them. She said, you bet. That's my way to serve God. So that's what she said.
Hey, serve him how you can serve him.
Yep.
The main thing now is you give me another challenge. I got to keep him out of them.
Well, that's the second one. I believe it's good enough.
Buddy, you're talking about somebody who loves sweets. This man right here. We appreciate you and her kindness and y'all bringing that over there. I just had to stop because that was really nice of her to do that. That takes time to make that stuff. But you shared you're going to be graduating law school.
Yep, here in a couple of years. So
I mean, you're on the way.
Yeah, on the way.
But tell that story.
Okay.
That puts you in the direction where you knew what you wanted to do.
Absolutely. So short little background for people that may be listening. So I did my undergrad here in accounting. And I worked for an attorney here
what
in
is
Weatherford.
Here? So they don't know exactly.
Here in Weatherford, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Where I graduated college from.
Southwestern Oklahoma State University.
Yes. And so I worked for this attorney who did tax and law, a little bit of both. It was kind of a perfect fit because I knew I wanted to go to law school. So I worked for him for the past couple of years. And I guess this was just this last summer, right before I got to go to law school. This lady comes in and she comes in and she's, you know, mid-90s lady, and she doesn't really have anybody. She's widowed. Husband passed away a few years prior. He was a farmer his whole life. She has a couple sons, but not around as much. She's really kind of on her own, and she can still drive a little bit. So she comes to the office and brings us this paper, and my desk is kind of at the front, and then my boss's desk is toward the back. He has an office, and she says, hey, I've got this piece of paper. I don't really understand it, legal piece of paper. Could you look at it or your boss? So I look at it and I go, I don't want to tell you anything wrong. So let me get my boss. So he comes up there and we just kind of sit down in the little common area where my desk is. And he kind of answers that question in 2-3 minutes tops. I mean, it doesn't take any time at all. And then we proceed to sit there and talk for, I bet it was 2 hours. I mean, no exaggeration, just talking about life, anything and everything that she wants to talk about. We could talk about, we just talk. And then after that's kind of over and the dust kind of settles, my boss kind of leads her out, gets the door for her and walks her to the car, helps her in the car. And he walks back in and I'd never seen him like this before, but you could just almost tell there were tears in his eyes. You know, you kind of water up a little bit. And he walks back in and he says, that's why we do it. He said, if you like stuff like that and that's what you want to be a part of, then you're in the right place. And that was the moment I knew mm-hmm. Weatherford, Oklahoma was going to be my home forever. And I love the people of Western Oklahoma. That's part of why I love the job we do, because it's meeting new farmers and small town people every mm-hmm. single day. And it's a pretty amazing thing. So,
and one thing that you shared and kind of really mm-hmm. spent a little more time on yesterday was how busy your boss is. Mm-hmm. His schedule is always stacked down to the minute, and he basically
cleared his
mm-hmm. you know, whatever he had to do for the next hour and just invested into that lady who really just wanted to mm-hmm. spend some time mm-hmm. and but that meant a lot to you mm-hmm. and puts you where you need to be.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a good story.
Yeah. That was a good story.
And to go off kind of what you said, he is, I mean, he has a big office in Oklahoma City, but he's kind of from Western Oklahoma, opened a smaller office here. I mean, phone calls 24/7, business deals all the time. I mean, as busy as a man can get. And he was willing to go, okay, here's 2 hours I don't really have, mm-hmm. but we're going to talk to this lady because, you know, that's just what she needs. And
that's cool.
That's the kind of heart he has. And that's the kind of heart I hope to have. So
that's awesome.
Amen.
You got one more.
Mm-hmm.
A dove, something.
Dove story. So I told my first turkey story. I've got to tell my first dove story. And this was, I guess, my first ever official hunt. I had been shooting grasshoppers in a pasture. I mean, all sorts of stuff. You name it, I was outside.
Dragonflies.
You name it. Mm-hmm. I was shooting at woodpeckers on a pole, mm-hmm. all of the above. Well, when my dad was pastor, so we lived in kind of northern Oklahoma, and my dad didn't really hunt that much after he started pastoring, moving around and everything. And so there was this group of guys, and they just kind of took me under their wing and took me to do everything, three or four of them from church. And one of them goes, you want to go hunting with us? And I was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we're going dove hunting. And I didn't have a shotgun at this point, nothing. So I'm going, and one of the guys' name's Aaron Betts. And so we get there. I'm fired up. They're killing a couple doves, just kind of letting me watch. Well, one of them hands me a gun and says, the next one that comes down, if they land on this little area, you're going to shoot them. And this was pretty decent-sized pond that had dried up almost to a puddle. And those ducks or doves were just hitting it, getting some water. Well, this dove flutters in and just lands right there. I mean, it was meant just for me. Mm-hmm. I know, because that dove wasn't moving. It mm-hmm. was stone cold still. He hands me the gun, 12-gauge shotgun. And I'm maybe 10 years old.
Okay.
And so I'm stepping right into it. I've never shot anything.
Full force.
Oh, yeah. So I kind of stand up and I'm getting real ready. And he goes, okay, shoot it. Bang. That dove dies. I am as happy as can be. We're hooping and hollering. I mean, everybody's excited for me. Little did I know, on the backside of this pond, there's a little bit of a dam that comes up. And we just hear, oh, 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 oh. One of the guys that was with us was back there picking up birds.
Oh, no.
So my first ever shot, first ever animal I genuinely killed while hunting. Mind you, I was told to shoot it. Not on me. I'm just telling you. I pull the trigger, I peppered him, knocked him over.
You shot him.
I did. I fractured his wrist. He had to go to the hospital.
No.
Wrist was fractured. He comes back over and he goes, you shot me. And my only response was, good, two birds with one stone.
Oh,
that
no.
was that's how I ended
explain
it.
Explain right that there. Wrist a little more.
On the spot.
What?
Explain his wrist a little bit more.
So we go out there and he comes back. He's kind of holding it. But I didn't know I had fractured his wrist, right? And he was holding it like it hurts. He goes to the hospital, doesn't tell me. And after a while, he comes back and tells me he fractured his wrist. And I'm still sitting there just as giddy as can be. And I'm like, I don't know. It was a good time. So
no remorse.
No, it sounded like you enjoyed it.
Nope.
You didn't actually shoot his wrist.
I didn't. He fell. Cracked his
there
wrist.
You go.
Peppered, well, fell, cracked the wrist, yeah. But it was my fault. But in the moment, I was fired up over
I
that.
I can't
dove.
Understand why he failed. You're getting shot.
Yeah. I know exactly why he failed, because I failed today with the anticipation that I could be being shot.
It was beautiful.
Got one more That's question. Beautiful.
There are two types of people in this world, and that side of the table is one of them. Oh, and we are the rest of them.
Take me back to the this dried up pond. You painted that picture. I'm seeing this dried up pond. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a dove come down. You and your mentor are there. You're taking aim on the dove. Mm-hmm. But what are you looking at? Where's this guy at, and how did you not see him?
So I'm all eyes on this dove, nothing else.
Okay.
I mean, at that point, that dove and the bead on that shotgun were the two things I had in mind. And I was going to kill that dove no matter what. And this little dam or berm is only a couple feet tall. I guess he was just kind of coming up and the stars aligned.
Bad
and
timing.
Yeah, boom. Real bad timing.
And he's a pretty good distance away. No,
he was probably 60, 70 yards, but it was enough to smoke him.
I don't wait till you get closer than that.
Take an eye out.
Yeah, for sure.
Ain't such thing as too far away when you get shot.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a.
That's the first crazy. Thing I ever
I think this is a good place for Whitney's commercial.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Let's bring people along for the experience that we've just had. Left on Sunday after church, drove 12 hours. It ended up being a little bit more than that. Had a lot of fun on the ride. I think as best as you can do. Yeah, well, it started getting fun when we started making the reels.
Yeah, okay.
We developed a few skits along the way.
Chase and Chance did not have much fun, he said, on the ride.
Chase and Chance.
Yeah.
I'd say very entertaining. Very entertaining, y'all two over there.
Yeah, we provide entertainment.
Maybe just one of them.
But the first thing that we did really, I think that was kind of notable, was doing a skit reel at a Shell station. About an hour this side of Oklahoma City.
At some midnight. Weird looks.
Yeah. And 75 below zero weather.
It was the coldest.
Yeah, at midnight. Right on a diesel pump where somebody had literally looks like they had just pumped the diesel everywhere. So it's slick right there. And we had to be at a diesel pump for the reels that we did. But that was a lot of fun. And I couldn't even edit the video for the next 30 minutes because my fingertips were completely so numb. I really couldn't feel the keyboard. But, hey, it was fun. And it was a moment I'll always remember.
Skit reels. Yeah, we'll never forget that.
Skit reels with my friends at the Shell and wherever. But that was cool.
I think everybody in the skits slipped in the diesel at some point.
Yeah. I tripped over the line twice.
Yeah. It was fun to watch from the comfort of a warm truck. Yeah.
I told you not to wear them flop flips.
Flop flips.
Well, man, I like to have bare feet when I drive sometimes.
And it was what, 42 degrees at that gas station? And
but gets out but it was warm when we left.
It was warm when you left. That's true.
So that was the first thing. And then we got here and, you know, got an awesome Airbnb, walked in because it's a house, which is incredible.
Yep. At 1:30.
Yeah, at 1:30 in the morning.
Late.
Yeah.
And then we met you guys, what, 6:30?
6:30.
Yeah. At the Duck Blind the next day for a fantastic hunt.
Oh, it was great.
Y'all did. Yeah. I told Shane, I sent him the pen, sent him the thing, and I said, we'll be there. I said, do you want me to come pick you up? Nah, don't pick us up. We'll meet you at the blind. Josh called him, and the tone of his voice said,
hello.
Don't you worry about us.
Verbal and nonverbal told us that he wasn't going to make that. So Shane set that one out, but...
Y'all had a great hunt, and these boys did a fine job scouting and getting ready for it.
That was perfect.
They sure did. It was a...
That's their motto, don't doubt the scout.
Don't doubt the scout.
That's right.
Got a couple of good skit reels, but it's been a lot of fun. We've had some good food.
Yeah, you ate a weirdo burger.
That was, I hope we have a separate video for the, I'm not going to promise it because I haven't made it yet. But that, they tell us, go get this burger at a gas station, but you're speaking our love language. I mean, we love good gas station food, being from Alabama. And it was called the Weirdo Burger. And they said we couldn't eat it.
Buddy, they did
the whole
they
thing. We couldn't eat the whole the quantity of food.
I didn't get a weirdo burger, but I got a Sam's Burger or something, and it had a piece of fried cheddar on it that big.
Yeah.
I thought it was a piece of pizza.
I was in pain. After the burger, I was in pain. I cleaned it.
You cleaned it up.
It was a journey.
But everything y'all have done for us, man, everything, every direction that you point us in has been – just solid, beautiful landscapes. And then we ended it today with a quail and pheasant hunt on a beautiful farm. Covey learned a couple of lessons while we was out there.
Mm-hmm. I did as well.
Shane learned a lesson.
Learned how to duck and roll.
Duck and roll.
I hope I'm able to patch that video in. Again, no promises.
Yeah. But we did, I think Shane said the camera was rolling when he almost lost his life.
That quail flew right at my head, as well as Covey's gun barrel as they swung around.
Mm-hmm. Tracking on
the quail.
I mean, it was perfect.
He'd have got that quail.
He would have.
he would have got everything.
Yeah. Because right behind Shane was a buggy with you in it.
And full of the rest of the loved ones.
Yeah. Rob and I were sitting there. We thought we were about to die. We were tucking for cover. Oh, man.
Quail had blue eyes.
That's how close it got.
Cubby would have had a similar story when he told about the first time I killed a quail.
Yeah. We could have been
shot my dad and other people.
We could have been doing this podcast from an ER. Yeah,
that would have been a story.
That'd been wild.
No, thanks.
Yeah. But thank you guys.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
It's a memory that we'll always have, a positive experience that we'll be talking about for a long time. Yeah. And since we're there, tell everybody how you got started, kind of what your values are, and what you're offering that they could be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Creation Outfitters is the name of our company. And we were sitting around, we were just, what's a name? What's a catchy name? What can we do? And I go every summer to my old church's children's camp as a sponsor. I mean, my favorite week of the year. You couldn't keep me from going.
Big kid time.
Love it. Absolutely love it. We're sitting there in service. And for some reason, I mean, the Lord just hit me. You know, you have that feeling. And right behind the pastor while he was preaching was on the screen was creation, the word creation, just talking about, you know, how God created everything. And I go, Creation Outfitters. And it just hit me and it stuck and never left. And our theme verse is Proverbs 16:3, which just says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plan. And so that's kind of our line of it. You know, we don't hunt on Sundays. Prayer is a big thing before every hunt. We never miss church for hunting. It just doesn't happen. Yeah. That's a solid rule for us. But our big thing is putting our faith first. And, you know, God's got a plan. He's in control. He'll lead us, you know, wherever we need to go. And so that's kind of one of the biggest things about us is we kind of guide, you know, ducks, geese, quail, pheasants, sandhill crane, turkeys, pretty much anything that flies in Western Oklahoma. Just
it's
about.
Got feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out! Feathers.
We're going after it.
We're going after it.
We're going after it.
And I'll say, if you got some young people that you want around good influences, these two boys would probably, well, young men. Would definitely fit that bill because there's not been a cross word or a sideways, even a sideways look that's come out of either one of these two. So I will commend them on that and say that would be a fantastic trip for a young hunter and maybe their dad or something like that. Yeah.
I'd be amiss if I didn't say this. How in the world did we even get in contact? Instagram. Mm-hmm. You sent me an Instagram message. I called you back. And that's one thing you mentioned. You said, look, we're Christians. We're trying to, you know, have integrity. We're trying to do the right thing. And we want you guys to come out and experience it. Yeah. And in this world or in this realm of outfitters and stuff, that's just maybe not always what you get. Mm-hmm. You're going to get kind of a full spectrum. So, you know, with the podcast, we're trying to have a Christian. We're trying to keep Christ at the center of it. And you guys are doing the same thing in the outfit world. And I think that's kind of what maybe made us kindred spirits. So we appreciate that and what y'all are doing. And all we can talk about is our experience, but it has been 100% what you said it would be.
Mm-hmm. And then,
tell folks how to get up with you.
So you can find us Instagram, Facebook at Creation Outfitters, or we have email. You can send me a Gmail at creationoutfitters163@gmail.com. And so I'm sure those will be linked somewhere and figure that out.
Link down below.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, click the link.
Yeah. Natural click link.
Yeah, if you're looking for, you know, a good positive experience, our number one thing is we love taking kids and dads and families. I mean, we want to provide that family atmosphere.
We
like
strive to keep a family friendly environment.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
That is our big deal. And if you got a kid who's never killed a duck, nothing would make us more excited than making that happen. That is our favorite thing to do.
Yep. What if you've got a
big kid?
What what about a 34-year-old that never killed a duck? Hey, let me tell you.
We take them too.
got a big old mallard today. I couldn't quit grinning. It was phenomenal. So great first time experience. Very generous, very accommodating. Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
And just to be specific,
if you're wanting to come to Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Clinton, Weatherford area, mm-hmm. and you're looking for a duck hunt, you're looking for a turkey hunt,
goose,
quail, pheasant. Did I leave anything out?
Sandhill crane.
The ribeye of the sky.
There's a little waterfowl package of. We try to find the best hunt
for
bless you.
For our clients, whether that might be crane, goose, mm-hmm. or duck. We try our best to find the hunt that you are wanting to experience, but ultimately we put you on the best mm-hmm. hunt that we can find. So,
and most of you guys are doing 2 days, but you mentioned this morning that occasionally if it's needed, wanted, you can extend that to a 3 day.
Correct. Yes. When our schedule gets posted, I believe next year we'll have a 2 day option and a 3 day option. So it'll be a Monday, Tuesday. We take Wednesday off, and then we do Thursday, Friday, Saturday trips as well. So
closed on Sunday.
Closed on Sunday.
Just like Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm.
You beat me to it, Rob.
Gotta be fast to get ahead of me.
That's right.
Now's a good time to tell you about the Hayden Outbound Podcast free subscription button.
That's right.
You can click it. You can be subscribed. And if you want to be notified and get a little bell, you can click the bell, and it'll tell you every time we post new content.
And go live as well.
And go live. Yeah. If you haven't done that, you're enjoying the content today. If you love Jesus.
If you want to support the channel at all, the two best things you can do is subscribe and share it with a friend.
Yeah. That's, love a share.
Yeah, share goes a long way.
I got to stand up, man.
You're making me nervous.
Stand up for the word.
Stand for the Lord.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Easy, Clark.
Okay.
Easy. Okay. I want to be real transparent, which I feel like we try to do all the time. Mm-hmm. I have a prayer list that I pray. I try to pray it every day. I'm sure I miss from time to time. And it's a running list. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, pray for me, pull out my phone. I put them on the list and I try to pray for them every morning. Some of the names on that list from time to time are difficult to pray for. I'm just being honest.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. I'm just being totally honest. You can say what you want to about what I just said, but that's just the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you've never felt that way,
bless your heart.
Hang on.
Yeah, hang on. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. Either they're continuing to hurt themselves, they're continuing to make the same mistake. Maybe they're continuing to hurt me. But I try to persevere and pray for them. And I've never really had anything that just kind of comforted me in that. You just kind of just did it. This will give you some encouragement. What Paul writes here and what he did will help you. So Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, the church, the believers. He says,
from a
prison also, that's worth noting. Mm-hmm. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, always, note that, offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Mm. Paul, well, here's the first thing. You can't tell me that every believer in Philippi, Paul was just overwhelmingly, he just loved them and liked them and thought they were the best person in the world. He's a normal dude, just like us. But he prayed for them all with the affection of Christ. And there's a motivation there because of God being at work in them through their faith in Jesus Christ, having the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we can focus when we're having those painful moments of praying for somebody else, when it's difficult, when it's hard, if we'll turn our focus away from what they're doing wrong, whatever it may be, and put our focus that Christ is in them and Christ is going to complete the good work, I think we can go past our difficulties, our complicated relationships, and powerfully, joyfully pray for people, because we know that God is essentially the one at work and he's going to complete the work. And that can motivate us to continue to pray for more perseverance with a better heart. Because I don't always have a good heart when I pray for people. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I hope if you've got somebody on your prayer list, somebody in your life that you've either quit praying for or you're struggling to keep praying for, that you can apply this and go, you know what? No. I'm going to think about what God's doing, and I'm going to pray for them with a little bit more joy. I hope that'll help you. Either get back to praying for them or get back to having joy while you're praying for them.
Amen.
Even if you got to be cooped up in a vehicle for 12 hours with them, are you married to them? Are you raising them? Are they raising you? So pray for folks.
I think all of those apply to Philip and you, don't they?
Yeah.
Our relationship is complicated. So.
Married, raising you, raising them, raising you.
It's real fun to watch.
It is.
That's one thing Chance said. He said, boy, ask him, you having a good time? He's like, man, y'all are a lot.
They are a lot.
Oh, don't let him lie to you. I don't know how many times yesterday he told us that this was the best day ever.
Let's end on a high note right there. I just want to say, not a brag on any one person, but I heard this young man, 18
years old.
18 years old. Correct. He gave out two bests yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Chance. Tell them what they were. What was the first best?
Best hunt of my life by far. Never shot a limit till then. Shot a lot of birds. It was amazing.
I mean, you look like you was mad at him. I'm not going to lie. <He did. laughs> I mean, you brought out a vendetta.
They had it coming. I had a lot of skunks in my life.
You make up for you it. Ever want to let it happen. No, no. Yeah. And what was the second best?
The Weirdo Burger. Mm-hmm. Sounds weird, but
it was.
Did you eat a Weirdo too?
Did I eat one? I killed that thing.
Remember, he's taking some deep breaths. But
I got no onions.
Oh, that's what
no
it was. Onions. Okay, yeah, I got
no
you.
Vegetables. That's why it looked different.
I got you. He did hammer it. So that's just a little insight into the blessing that we've had with Amen. You guys this week. And we're going to tidy up and get this Christian college campus put back together because we have tore this room apart.
There's a recliner in two pieces.
Yeah, we'll get it. I promise we're going to get it back
that
together.
That was an accident. Okay.
But that's going to do it here in Weatherford, Oklahoma for the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Joshua.
I'm Kellen.
I'm Chance.
I'm Caden.
We'll see you guys next week.